Bible and look at the book of Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. If you don't have a Bible, it'll be on the screen for you. In Matthew chapter number 16, and we'll begin here. And for those of you in the sound booth, I have a lot of the verses, not all of them, but a lot of the verses that I'll be mentioning and going to on the screen for you. And that way you can follow along there if you'd like to. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18. By now, I hope you found it. If you found it, say amen. And if you're still looking for it, say hang on a minute. All right, we got some. We got some still in the book called Index. They're hunting.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
All right. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18, and the Bible says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It said, "I will." Jesus said, upon himself, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, he says, "I'm going to build my church upon myself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, that you will give us the words to say to help the people the most. And Lord, we'll walk out of here different than when we walked in because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Here in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18, Jesus said this. He said, "I will," future tense, "build my church." You say, what church is he talking about? Is he talking about the Baptist church? Is he talking about the Methodist church? Is he talking about Presbyterian or whoever, this, that, and the other? My friend, he wasn't talking about a denomination. He wasn't talking about brick, mortar, and the pulpit and the piano. He was talking about the church of the living God, made up of all the saved, born again, blood washed Christians, headed for heaven. Stand your seat, don't get excited about that. When he said, "I'm building a church," he wasn't building a denomination. He's building his church, the church that was founded upon his body. And ladies and gentlemen, you can be a member of this church and not be a member of his church. And I sure had rather. I want to be a member of this church. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. But my friend, I'd rather you be a member of his church than be a member of this church. Does that make sense? Anybody says, well, most time you ask people, "Are you saved? You're on your way to heaven?" "Yeah, I'm a member of so-and-so church." Well, I got news for you. God don't care about that.
Amen.
I hate to bust your bubble. He wants to know if you're a member of his church.
Amen.
And it's the church of the living God. Now, let me give you these 3 points. 3 points, and they're 3 long points.
Amen.
But we'll be at lunchtime here, and Larry's already leaving. He said, "I'm gone." I tell you what, now I'm joking about that. 3 points about the church that are typified in the Bible. Number one, the church is typified as the bride of Christ. Let me give you this first in Ephesians chapter number 5. You'll find it on the screen there in Ephesians chapter number 5. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, say amen.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the who? The church, and gave himself for it. It's pictured as a bride. Matter of fact, later on in those verses, it'll say, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus looked down at his mother and John and said, "John, behold thy mother." And basically, he's giving his mother to John to take care of from there. Just a few minutes after that, Jesus stretched out his arms and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus on the cross forsook mama, forsook daddy, so he could cleave unto his wife, the church of the living God? "Therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Did you know over there in the book of Genesis, over there in the Garden of Eden where it all started, Mamaw and Papaw Adam, God gave them one command and they couldn't even keep that. They had to, listen, it's like telling a bunch of kids, stay out of the road. Don't you get in that road that just paved that road. Don't get out of that road. You get tar all over you. Well, don't you know if you turn your back, that's the first place they're headed. And when God told Adam and Eve, you can eat of anything in this whole garden, but don't you eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. As soon as God turned his back, that's the one they headed to. And when that all happened, ladies and gentlemen, where was I going with that? Oh, I've got all sidetracked. Goodness. There's so much preaching in here, you can't, I mean, there's just so much in there. As a matter of fact, they did like this. Adam, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And he caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. I'm talking about put him to sleep. He took one of his ribs out of his side and made he a woman. And when Adam woke up from his sleep, he went, whoa, man. Well, that's where y'all got your name, woman. He went, whoa, man. Now listen, folks, that's the best I got. Come on, man. You say, what's that got to do with the church? Well, I'll tell you this. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus stretched out his arms and died, and one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced Jesus in the side, and forthwith came out blood and water. Jesus went to the tomb, and he stayed there 3 days and three nights. When he woke up, he had a bride at his side. It come forth from his side, the church of the living God.
Amen.
Just like Adam got his bride, Jesus Christ got his bride, and it's called the church of the living God. You think about all the Old Testament stories that match up so pretty with Jesus and his church. You think about that church, or excuse me, that illustration of Abraham. Abraham pictures God the Father. And Abraham, God the Father, he says, I've got a son named Isaac, and I'm going to go get a bride for my son Isaac. And so he sent his servant Eleazar, which is a picture and type of the Holy Spirit, and he told Eleazar, he said, you go into the far country, and you bring back a bride for my son. Eleazar goes off to the far country. He runs across this woman named Rebecca. She was drawing water from the well, and he says, Rebecca, will you go and meet this man? I know you've never met him before. I know you've never seen him before, but would you go with me to meet him? She said, I sure will. She wasn't made to go. She was asked if she wanted to go. You ain't made to get saved. You're asked if you want to get saved. He said, do you want to go with this man? And she said, I sure do. And she climbed up on that camel and she rode until she saw in the far distance Isaac was standing out on the front porch. And then he said, whoa, man. And the Bible says she climbed down off of her camel and they ran and they'll meet her. And there they were united and became husband and wife. You say, what in the world's that got to do with us today? Well, I'll tell you this. God the Father looked at God the Holy Spirit and said, you go down to that world and you get me a bride for my son. And we ain't never seen him before. We ain't never met him before. But the Holy Spirit one day as a 10-year-old boy said, you want to meet this man? I said, I sure do. I climbed up on a camel. I've been on this camel for 40-something years waiting to meet him one of these days. He's going to step out on the front porch and I'm going to look and I'm going to say, that's the one I've been looking for. That's the one I want to meet. Hallelujah. Well, if you didn't like that story, I got one like this one. Y'all remember a story by the name of Ruth in the Old Testament. Ruth was out there gleaning in the field. And there was a fellow, a Jewish boy by the name of Boaz. And listen, Ruth was one of those Moabite women. She was a Gentile. And no, the Jews just didn't mess around with no Moabites or those Gentile women. But Boaz was out there on his John Deere tractor. He was rolling around that field one day. It's all in there. You just got to read it. He's out there on his John Deere tractor, and he does one of them double takes. You know what I'm talking about? And this one was over there gleaning. He, and then he said, "Whoa, man, who is that?" He took him another trip down around that field, and he said he told one of the servants, "We'll find out who that is." And I'm going to tell you, then he found out who she was, And he left her handfuls on purpose to where she didn't even have to pick nothing. She just showed up and it was already picked for her. She said, where in the world this come? I'm getting blessings from somebody. I don't even know where they're coming from. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. And finally, a Jewish boy named Boaz married this Gentile bride, and they got together. Hallelujah. You said, what's that got to do? I'm going to tell you. One of these days, Jesus was driving through there, and he looks and he says, I see a world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
And I became, listen, engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ as the church of the living God. He's been leaving me handfuls on purpose along the way, and one of these days we're going to get to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, friend. It's a picture of a bride. The church is a picture of the bride. Well, I got news for you. You remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. I ain't got time to tell you all this stuff because some of you's already started that Baptist salute stuff. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I got a clock back there and I can see. I know exactly what time it is. But in a Jewish wedding, there are three parts to a Jewish wedding. The first part is a betrothal stage. That is where the father looks at this girl and goes to the girl's father and says, hey, I'm going to put down a dowry, a down payment. When my son and your daughter gets of marrying age, I put down a down payment that my son can marry your daughter. And they made an agreement. And now they are betrothed. They don't share the marriage bed. They are betrothed. They're engaged until the wedding time. And while the father, he makes down payment, and he takes his son back to his house and prepares a place to live before they get married.
Come on, bring it back. Amen.
Woo! Well, I got news for you. You say, what's that got to do with us today? I'm going to tell you. God the Father looked down, and God the Son, and said, I'm going to. He didn't put a down payment. He paid the whole thing in full. When he went to that cross, he didn't put a down payment. He paid it in full and said, my son is going to marry the church, the bride of Christ. And right now, the church and Christ, we are in the betrothal stage. We've been engaged. We've been espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ. The second stage of that is the presentation stage. That's the marriage day. While the dad and the son are back here preparing a place, they're getting ready. And when all things have been made ready, the father looks at the son and says, go get your bride.
Amen.
Let me go to the Pentecostal sign. I thought I had them on both sides today, but I don't know. Hey, the father looks at the son and says, hey, go get your bride.
Amen.
And what they did in the Jewish wedding, they had all these garments, these white garments, and they would go through the streets. We're having a wedding today, and they passed out these white garments. Put this on and come on to the wedding. And boy, they would. And that son, he'd knock on that bride's door, and he says, you ready? She said, I sure am. He said, I'm ready too. All things have been made ready.
Amen.
We're going to a wedding. And boy, he picked her up, and I'm talking about here they go back to the father's house. I think there's a verse in the Bible about that. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one of these days, we're going to hear the trumpet sound.
Amen.
Y'all ever been to a wedding? Oh, I know you have. And all the people are sitting in the seat, we're waiting patiently and anxiously. And the groom, the father's down here, and the guy that's preaching the thing and putting them together and all that kind of, they're all down here. And we're waiting on the wedding march to blow. And as soon as it does, the back doors open. And the bride steps in. And everybody in the seat, they stand up. And everybody turns toward the bride. And here she comes. And the Holy Spirit's walking her down. And the Holy Spirit's walking her down the aisle to go meet the son. And he brings her down here, and he says, who gives this bride? And the Holy Spirit says, I do.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And he joins hands with the Lord Jesus Christ and the church.
Amen.
You say, who's preaching the thing? God the Father.
Amen.
God the Son's getting married. God the Holy Spirit gave the bride away.
Amen.
One of these days, listen, you say, who's going to be in the seat if the church, if the church is getting married? Then who's going to be the viewers in the seats? Oh, listen, all them Old Testament saints. All them Old Testament saints. Hey, they died before the Lord got the chance to die on the cross. So they died in faith, and they're not a part of the church. But look here, they're in the pews. And when that trumpet sounds, everybody stands. And turns. But Revelation 4:1 says, I heard a door open in heaven. And behold, a voice that said, come up hither. And the bride, here she comes. I'm talking about the door is going to swing wide. And us, the church, are going to leave out of here. And we're going to meet the Lord at the presentation stage. And then the third section of a Jewish wedding is the celebration stage where we go to the reception. We go into the reception. And you know what they do at the reception? They eat. Can you imagine eating? No fat grams, no calories, no cholesterol. Somebody ought to be saying amen right now. If you've been asleep the whole service, that ought to woke you up. To know. You say, how long is this celebration stage going to last? It's going to last, I know, at least 1,000 years. The millennial reign of Christ, it's at least going to last that long. You remember that wedding that Jesus turned the water into grape juice over there? He turned that water, and the reason he had to do it is because they run out. Well, I can promise you, this wedding ain't going to run out of nothing.
Amen.
And them weddings, in the Jewish weddings, they had the reception until somebody run out of food.
Amen.
We ain't going to ever run out of nothing.
Amen.
So we may be eating for a long time. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. The church is a picture of a bride. But number two, I gotta hurry. But number two, not only is the church pictured as a bride, number two, it's pictured as a body. It's pictured as a body. I'll give you this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is who? Christ. I don't know how many churches are in Dyersburg. I have no idea. Let's just say, I don't know, 300 or 400. I have no idea. Christ don't have 300 or 400 bodies. He only has one. He only has one body, and everybody that's saved is a member of that church, which is his body. Now, these local churches that we have down here are supposed to resemble and look like his body. Some do, some don't. Some churches look like his body, and some, a lot, don't. A lot of foolishness is going on in churches today. I ain't got time to go down that road, but you know what I'm talking about. A lot of foolishness is going on in church that don't resemble his body. I got news for you. Stay in your seat. Listen. There are no perfect churches on this earth.
Amen.
But his church is perfect.
Amen.
No perfect, you say. Listen, if you do find a perfect church on this earth, don't join it. You'll mess it up.
Amen.
Because as long as there's imperfect people, there's no perfect churches on this earth.
Amen.
But we're supposed to do the best we can to portray and picture his church, which is his body. In him, you say, how do you get into his body? I'll tell you, you got to be baptized into it. You say, you mean back here? No. The baptism in his body happens way before that. Let me explain that one to you real quick. Oh, I think I got an illustration. Look here. I have the Lord's body right there. You see it?
Yeah.
And there's you. I don't know how you relate to the key, but that's you right there. And when you were wherever you were, maybe you was in church, maybe you was at the house, maybe you were driving down the road in your car, I don't know where you was at, but you got under Holy Ghost conviction, and the Holy Ghost started knocking on your door, wanting to say, hey, you need to be saved, you need to be saved. And you said, I sure do. And you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Lord, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. And so what happened? You didn't see it, and you didn't feel it, but the Holy Spirit came down here and he picked you up and he baptized you into the Lord's body. No water was involved. You know, the word baptism means to immerse. I can baptize these keys in my pocket. I ain't no water in my pocket. I can take this. You were baptized into his body. And Ephesians 4 says he put a seal where we're sealed to the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit's almost like one of them mason fruit jars. You know what I'm talking about? He screws that thing down with that lid, and now you're sealed. Sometimes you feel like your world is turned upside down, don't you? Sometimes you feel like you are being on a roller coaster and your world, you don't know what's coming next. But guess what? I'm still in it.
Amen.
Y'all should have said amen on that. The great physician has never lost a case. He's never lost anybody. And if you're in, and he puts you into his body, you say, where'd you get that? For by one Spirit, it's verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew, Gentile, bond or free, whether we've all been made to drink in one Spirit. Y'all see that? For the body is not one member, but many. So, this church, the Lord's body, look, when you got put into the body of Christ, you became a hand, foot, toe, arm, leg, thumb, ear. So this church ought to resemble that. So those of you that are members of this church, either you're an arm, a foot, a toe. Everybody can't be a foot. Everybody can't be an ear. To drive a car, you're going to have eyes, ears, and your feet have got to coincide. You imagine what we would be like if your feet got into a fight with your ears and eyes while you're driving. Your ears and eyes says, the light is turning yellow, it's fixed to turn red next. Feet, y'all may want to start pressing on this gas. Or, what if it's yellow, you push on the gas? That means free up. That's what that means. But if it's red, you're supposed to stop. Well, what about the feet says? Well, I just don't like y'all telling me what to do. I ain't doing nothing. Now listen, y'all was shouting pretty good a while ago, but now we're plowing real close to the road. And hey, when you hurt, I'm supposed to hurt. When you're glad, I'm supposed to hurt. Hey, you stop dropping a brick on your foot, my whole body hurts. You hit a hammer on your thumb, my whole body hurts. I get a headache. And so when the church hurts, everybody ought to hurt. Why? We're all a member of that body. And you have to work together. The feet's got to work together with the eyes. A lot of churches, some of you may be ears, some of you may be a nose, some of you may be the eyes. But I'll tell you something we do have more of in a lot of churches. We got more mouth than we do anything. Hallelujah. Can I say that again? We don't need but one mouth. Hallelujah. Woo! A lot of churches got more mouth than anything. Oh, that's all you hear. Sound like a chainsaw. Somebody say amen right there. Look, you got two ears and one mouth. That means you got to do more listening than you do talking. I don't know how I got that. Wasn't even in the notes either. That was free. The church is a picture of a bride. It's a picture of a body. And we all are that one body if you're saved. You've been put into Christ. Now, you say, what does that come in? I'll tell you. Y'all know when somebody gets saved, they come down the altar wherever. Holy Spirit baptizes them in the body. We didn't get to see it because it happens if we don't see it. It just happens. You don't see the Holy Spirit come down and he physically, you don't see that, right? So a person wants to follow the Lord and say, I want my church to see what happened to me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. So they get back here and show a picture of what happened to them when the Holy Spirit put them into Christ. That's what happens. So today, you're fixing to witness something. They're already saved. They're not getting saved today. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
They're not getting saved today because they're getting in the water.
Amen.
They got saved a long time or whatever it was.
Amen.
They got saved when the Holy Spirit put them into Christ and broke the whole thing. I mean, that's what he did for them. And so what they're going to do back here, they're going to picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You know what saves them? The blood. Water don't save. Water just gets you wet. But the water shows all of us a picture of what the real thing was. Oh, I got a king right there. Let me see if I can pull up this stump right here. Let me just say, if I got a picture up here of a pig, I mean a big old fat hog, and I say, I hold this up in a picture, and I say, church, what is that? And y'all say, it's a pig. It's not a pig. It's a picture of a pig. It ain't the real thing. It's a picture of the real thing. Now you get it? This ain't the real thing, but it shows a picture and points to the real thing.
Amen.
Which way some people believe, they take this picture, they cut up this picture into slices and put it in a skillet and make bacon. How dumb is that? You can't take a picture and make something the real thing. And you can't take that and make it the real thing. It ain't the real thing. I can't show that illustration no more. That is the real thing. I hope that helped you. Because they're fixing to show you a picture of what happened then when they got saved. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now I got to go. It pictures the bride. It pictures a body. And number three, it pictures a building. And that building is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 20, and it's going to be on the screen. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Hallelujah for that.
Amen.
But fellow citizens with the saints.
Amen.
And of the household of who?
God.
And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets.
Woo.
Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. Yeah. The chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Ain't that something? In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ain't that something? That is something. So what that means is, y'all remember when Jesus, he rose from the dead. That's when the church started. And the foundation, who's the chief cornerstone? Jesus Christ. The next person that got saved, the apostles and the prophets, those foundation. We got a good foundation.
Amen.
And then the next person got saved, built on top of that, and built the household of God.
Amen.
It's not a physical building like what you see here. It's a household of God, which is a spiritual thing. It's much bigger than this here.
Amen.
It houses all the saved folks that are bought by the blood. Now let me say this. Let me say this in closing. You remember I told you Adam and Eve in the Old Testament. I'm closing to give you this last thing. Adam and Eve in the Old Testament. The Bible says, now ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. Eve ate of that fruit first. That's what the Bible says. She ate that fruit first. Now, and then Adam took it after her. Y'all with me? Stay right here. Don't miss this illustration. After Eve took of that fruit, Adam had two choices.
Right. Yes.
He could have looked at God and said, now God, This wife that you gave him has messed up. She has sinned, and you need to kick her out of here.
Amen.
And take another rib and make me another. Well, I'm going to get hungry in the morning about breakfast time.
Oh, that's kind of stuff.
Oh, what Adam did, he looked at his wife and said, I love her, and she's fixing to get kicked out. I'm going to take this fruit with her and become sin with her so I can get kicked out with her because I love her. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Stay right there. Don't miss it. You say, what's that got to do with anything? Well, I'll tell you. When sin entered this world, Jesus Christ, God the Father, has two choices. He can wipe the whole thing out and start all over.
Amen.
Or he can say, they got kicked out of the garden. Father, I love them. Let me go down there and become sin with them.
Amen.
Let me go down there and become sin with them. So he comes down. He wasn't sin in him. He was sin on him. And he took the sins of the whole world on him. Got kicked out of his place to come down here and rescue his church.
Amen.
Don't you know, the night after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, they're not in the Garden of Eden, they got kicked out. They're laying on the cold, hard ground now. I don't even know if they found some cave or something. I don't know what they slept in that first night. I have no idea. But I can promise you this, when they went to bed that night, Eve looked over at Adam and was no doubt it hit her mind if her husband loved her. For what he did.
Amen.
And when you leave this building today, there should be no doubt in your mind if Jesus Christ loves you.
Amen.
For what he did.
Amen.
He came to this world, took upon sin, so he could be married. The bride, the body, and the building. The church of the living God.
Amen.
Now, here's my question. We're fixing to start the invitation. Now, here's my question. Are you a part of his body? Are you a part of his body? I'm not talking about a church down here. That's all well and good. Everybody ought to be a member somewhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But more importantly, are you a member there?
Amen.
And the only way to get a member there is to be saved by God's grace.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to help us. I don't know.